Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.
Yeah, you're very welcome to the Friday Football Betting Show, live across all the Off the Ball platforms on Facebook, Twitter and YouTube. It is FA Cup fourth round weekend, including a very interesting clash this evening between Arsenal and Manchester United at the Emirates. We're going to be looking forward to all of that. Don't forget, you can get in touch across our social channels for the next 30 minutes or so, and the best comments will be in with a chance of winning some great prizes with thanks to Boyle Sports as well. Always remember to gamble responsibly and only bet what you can afford. And remember, if you are gambling as well or need help or advice, see dunlewy.net. We're joined by Off the Ball's football expert and commentator Stephen Doyle and also by Liam Blanche from Boyle Sports as well.
How are you?
Good afternoon to you, lads.
Good afternoon.
What have we got offer-wise this week, Leon?
Well, there's plenty of offers, as we'll see now coming up on the screen. It's FA Cup weekend, no Premier League until midweek. So we're looking at it now, and we've got our first one. It's Tottenham and Chelsea both to be leading at half-time. It was 7-2. Is now 5-1. I'd be a little bit worried about Tottenham.
I know Stephen Doyle is going to pose you on this one.
Yeah,
straight away.
No, look, I'd be a little bit worried about Tottenham leading at half time. Although, do you know what? They played actually well last night, considering three of their superstars were missing. The second half was a much more improved performance than the first half. But yeah, look, I think Spurs, they can just about get through, but it's a tricky FA Cup tie. We'll talk about that game a little more in detail.
Yeah, probably a case of them digging in with some of their players missing out as well. Anything else you've got for us this week?
Yeah, we do have another couple of offers. Both teams to score in the first half, Arsenal against Manchester United. Now, I have a feeling there'll be plenty of goals in this one. We thought there'd be loads of goals between Spurs and United. There should have been, barring David De Gea. But I like this enhancement, 4-1 from 11-4. Pretty decent. Arsenal and Man United, I think there will be goals tonight.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's going to be interesting. That's going to be one of the main games that we are going to be looking forward to here on today's show. We'll take a review, though, of the bets from last week's show because it was a pretty decent strike rate. The only man to let us down was Kevin Kilbane. Kev's bet last week, both teams to score. He was going for Southampton versus Everton, Bournemouth against West Ham, and Watford against Burnley. So he was let down in that one last Saturday. I think he was probably optimistic, trying to go for three different games with both to score. But that was Kev's hope, which ran amiss in the end. Raf was a guest on last week's show. He's picked Marcus Rashford, who could be in contention to score tonight as well, and a Manchester United win. That was seven in a row for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's team. And Raf coming in there at 11-8 last week.
Shut up about it all week.
Yeah.
He's Raf, put the pressure on you, Steve, for today.
Think you're hearing about it.
Phil Egan decided to back Liverpool, who were in a good run of form as well. And he was backing both teams to score. Liverpool playing Crystal Palace at Anfield last weekend. And Palace scored a couple of good goals in that game and gave Liverpool a bit of a scare. That came in for Phil Egan at 2-1. So Liverpool winning to stay top of the league.
Very good shout, actually.
And Leon, have you been backing your own tips?
I have. I've been following myself the last kind of, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 weeks. It's been going okay. I'm in profit. I don't know my percentage like JD would know, John Duggan, but look, I went Wolves. That was the only kind of tricky one I felt. It was an early kickoff.
You needed a 93rd minute goal for that one.
Yeah, and look, I mean, when they went 2-0 up, I was kind of coasting. But then a good response by Leicester and a 93rd minute winner. But you need a bit of luck when you go travel. Liverpool and United, I suppose Liverpool as well were very lucky, but it doesn't matter.
I'd say if you had been at the ground, you would have been like Nuno Espirito Santo, running out celebrating the players.
Well, not for my measly 10 quid, but still, it was a much needed win, I think, for Wolves as well, because they played well, but they let Leicester back into the game. And I think Wolves, I think they'll win this weekend in the FA Cup as well.
Steve, we're looking forward to tonight particularly. Game of the weekend, this fourth round when the draw was made, stood out straight away. Arsenal-Manchester United at the Emirates. Booked in for the Friday night. Not the fans, not entirely happy about that in terms of the kickoff time. But for anyone who's watching on TV, it's probably ideal. 5-8 on a Friday night to sit down and watch this game. How do you see it going?
Yeah, well, it is great for us TV spectators, I suppose, if you're a Manchester native and you have to make that travel, that trip down to London to watch this game. It's not exactly ideal. But I think this is a really hard game to call. I'm kind of edging towards United the more the day goes on. Interestingly, I was listening to Joe Malloy and Kevin Kilbane on the football show during the week, and they were talking about the famous 99 game with Martin Keown. And I just thought there was an interesting point made in that that night he decided to start Sheringham and Solskjaer, Alex Ferguson, I should say, the manager at the time. Arsenal, as Keon mentioning, that they were going for the double-double. They were a point ahead in the league. They were in the cup against United. And Ferguson decided to start Solskjaer and Sheringham. And it was interesting because it seemed to put something into the back of the Arsenal players' minds. Here they are up against this really potent striking partnership in Solskjaer and Sheringham. And yet they look over at the bench and there's York and Cole ready to come on.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, Marcus Rashford has been in scintillating form, as we know. And this is just, you know, a theory of mine. I'm just wondering, I've seen Arsenal a couple of times. I was there live for the Spurs game in December. They've got such a bad defence. You know, Socrates is the anchor man, and whoever they play in there with him, they're just not reliable whatsoever. And I just think Unai Emery, he needs a couple of transfer windows to get some good defenders in there. I think he's just making do with what he has at the moment. And that's why I wouldn't be judging Emery yet. And I won't even judge him at the end of the season. I think he needs a couple of transfer windows to sort that team out. But I'm just wondering, will Solskjaer tonight decide to go with the physicality of Romelu Lukaku and start him and maybe leave Rashford on the bench? And in the thinking that, well, look, if the game's still in the fire coming into the last 15, 20 minutes, I can throw Marcus Rashford on. He's in brilliant form and can still get us a goal.
And Lukaku has a tremendous FA Cup record as well. I was reading before we came on. He's got, I think, 14 in his last 15 in the FA Cup. Mm. I know quite a few of them were for Everton, but Lukaku's the kind of player who maybe could bully two centre-backs tonight.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, look, if he's on it, he can. Mm. I thought he turned the corner, especially with Solskjaer. I was really impressed when he came off the bench against Newcastle and scored that goal. It looked to me as if, right, he's alive, he's alert, he wants to be a part of this new setup, this new feeling within the club. But when he came on against Spurs at Wembley, I thought he was a disgrace. He didn't move. He literally came on for 15 or 20 minutes and he was so ineffective. I just wonder, maybe Steve-O was right, it's the FA Cup, you give him a game. But I just wonder with Solskjaer, you know the way United are, have won 7 out of 7. Rashford is the main man now. And do you take a guy out who's on fire? It's you know, I think they play, is it next Wednesday night in the Premier League, United? So they have enough time to recover. Well, it's either Tuesday or Wednesday. But I just think, I'd be surprised if he leaves Rashford out. He's a young kid. He thrives on playing football. Maybe you give him an hour to start, because I really feel, I tipped up United to win the FA Cup. This is a tricky tie for them. However, Arsenal were good against Chelsea at home, I have to say that. Chelsea didn't offer a lot up front. United will offer an awful lot more going forward. But I still look back to United, even though David De Gea made 11 saves, which was a world-class performance against Tottenham, Spurs should have scored, and they should have scored more than one. And I just feel with Arsenal, with the attacking threat that they have at home, I think the Arsenal are 6-4. I think they're going to put it up to United. I wouldn't be surprised at all if it was a score draw. I think there's going to be plenty of goals in this tonight. I still think Man United's back four is not very good. They've got a world-class goalkeeper, and I think Arsenal's back four are worse than United, so I think there will be goals, definitely.
Mm. Steve, it'll be interesting to see, as you say, selection-wise, Sanchez back in contention to play, maybe his first game back at the Emirates since he left the club last year. They could stick with Martial, Lingard, Rashford in some kind of combination. And without Bellerin, Arsenal have to fill in at right back tonight. Someone maybe to occupy that left side, Martial or even Rashford drifting over there. They could do damage over there.
Yeah, definitely. And in fact, if you're going to bring Alexis Sanchez in, maybe this is the game to do it with, as you say, Bellerin being out now. He's going to be out till the end of the season, a nasty cruciate ligament injury. It seems like Maitland Niles is the man being touted by, I've read a couple of the club fan websites, and he seems to be the man that they're touting for that. So if you've got Alexis Sanchez over that left-hand side now, you know, he's obviously not going to be up to full pitch at this stage. Sanchez coming back, I'm not sure if he's fully match fit, but he's definitely somebody who could do damage. Again, like I said, I definitely understand what you're saying, Leon. You don't want to kind of take a guy out who's in form and that kind of thing. But I just, that Arsenal defence really worries me, and if they're up against a physical brute like Lukaku, I think they might be in a bit of trouble. I actually think that the score draw is a good shout, and maybe United might fancy taking it back to Old
Trafford. I just wonder, Steve, the way Solskjaer seems to be playing at the moment, as we saw with the three guys up front against Spurs that have a lot of pace. He played Lingard, he played Martial, and he played Rashford. Maybe if you're giving Rashford a break, maybe it is Sanchez. that comes in, because he's definitely more mobile than Lukaku. And I just wonder, has Solskjaer looked at Lukaku now as, if I start him, does it slow me down a bit? Mm. As in, when you're on the counter-attack, with that pace up front, you can cause any team problems. So, look, it'll be interesting to see. I would advise anyone who wants to get involved in tonight's game, wait till you see the team sheet before you make up your mind. Because especially in the FA Cup, it's vitally important to see who starts and as well, who's on the bench.
You want to see who starts for Arsenal as well, because you know, Mesut Ozil could come back in, even though he's been dropped for a few of the big games. And do you start Lacazette through the middle? Do you start Aubameyang through the middle? These are big decisions for Emery to make.
Yeah, and Aubameyang's in a, like, what a player, brilliant striker. He's really, you know, he's adjusted to the English game really well. Scored 14 goals in the league. He's joint top scorer, but he hasn't scored since New Year's Day. And that's a long dry patch for a striker like Aubameyang. So they, you know, they really need to find goals through him. I also think the midfield battle is going to be fascinating. Who you're going to have? It could be Guendouzi or Xhaka playing alongside Torreira.
Torreira, yeah.
You've got Paul Pogba floating around. Like, what do, like, if I'm Unai Emery, you're thinking, well, Pogba's got this free role. Do you put someone like Lucas Torreira and say you just watch him for the whole game?
Yeah.
I'd imagine Pogba could be wound up very easily, but like by a player like Torreira.
Absolutely. In his face all the time, get at him early. Pogba still has that switch, I feel, that he could lose it if someone gets at him. But it's a very good point, because Pogba now has the role he desires and he is being effective in that role. There's no question. That ball to Rashford was a sensational pass. I mean, he only had two touches and he hit a 50-yard diagonal ball. He's well capable of it. United seem to have hit upon something now, two holding midfielders, and let Pogba just do what he wants.
Yeah.
Because if you have him in your team, you've got to almost let him go anywhere because he's not going to defend. But the one thing I did like about Pogba, I have to say, there was a couple of times he ended up in the left back position chasing back, so he's obviously bought into Solskjaer. I'm sure he's delighted Mourinho was gone. But it's a fascinating game tonight. Team selection will be crucial. I think Ozil will start for sure, because you cannot have a guy getting that much money and leaving him on the bench. It just doesn't make sense. You've got to try and find, not similar to Pogba, but you've got to try and find a role for him within your team. And the one thing Arsenal still miss, in my opinion, is they miss that fella who can thread the ball through. And the one thing about Ozil is he's got a phenomenal assist record since he's been in the Premier League. So,
and the other man that comes into question there is, or comes into the talk there, is Aaron Ramsey. And I have to say, you've got to hand it to the guy. He's obviously got this transfer sorted now to Juventus, but, you know, and we've seen so many times with players who either want out or who are on their way out and they just down tools. And I have to say, all credit to Aaron Ramsey. He's been fantastic. He's actually played really well, despite the fact that he is leaving, and he's given his heart and soul to Arsenal. I'm sure there's a lot of Arsenal supporters wishing that he wasn't leaving, but unfortunately that decision was made by the men at the top. The other thing is interesting as well about Arsenal is their home form. They've only lost 2 out of 18 games at home this season. So, you know, while it's not an impenetrable fortress, it is a fortress of sorts. And if they can get the atmosphere, which I think is really possible, it's 5 to 8, it's in London. All the home supporters have had a chance to have a few drinks, have a few beers and get in there early. And I think if they can get the kind of atmosphere they had for the Spurs game in December, that'll make it, you know, that'll really give Arsenal a boost as well in this game.
Lads, for those who are thinking maybe betting on the away team on Manchester United tonight, is the fact that, you know, we looked at their fixture schedule when Solskjaer got the job, the first half dozen games, there was a lot of easy ones there to start. But does that performance at Wembley against Spurs solidify them as a team in your minds?
Look, you know what? I thought Solskjaer got his tactics spot on for the first half. He definitely set up correctly against Pochettino's men. But the second half, I thought we saw plenty of deficiencies if you're looking at Manchester United. The amount of chances that Spurs created was phenomenal. I still don't know how they didn't score. So I think if you look at it, you'd say United, you go to Wembley, you win 1-0, you need a bit of luck, great. But they're going to lose a game sooner rather than later because of this run they're on. I'm not saying that with my Liverpool hat on. I just think Arsenal, when it comes to a big game like Chelsea at home, like the Spurs game at home that Steve-O was referring to, I just have a feeling tonight, I was raging when United were pulled out of the hat away to Arsenal because I backed them to win the cup. I think my money might be gone down the drain. I'm going to go with Arsenal. I think they might just nick it by the odd goal, but I think it's going to be one hell of a match to watch.
I think the other thing to watch tonight as well is that one of Arsenal's favourite moves is, if you keep an eye on them, they'll go down the right-hand side and whichever midfielder it is has the ball, or sorry, I should go down Arsenal's left-hand side, whichever midfielder has the ball, they'll have Kolasinac coming on the overlap, and that's a move they'll always try, and Kolasinac will get down to the byline and try and pull the ball back. And if you look at United, they had Ashley Young playing right back last week. Lindelof is the centre-half on that right-hand side, so I think that's definitely something to watch as well, because United can be weak on the flanks when they're defending. So just keep an eye. I think you'll see Kolasinac making a lot of runs down that left-hand side to attack United on the right.
I do wonder, team selection-wise as well, traditionally you drop the goalkeeper for the FA Cup and you play your second-choice keeper. If David De Gea is not around and Romero's in goal, does it make it easy for Arsenal to score?
Solskjaer won't take any chances tonight. I think Solskjaer, he knows this is the only chance United have. Well, not the only chance. They could win the Champions League, but this is their best chance of a trophy, and I think he's going to go all out. Everything he said in the build-up to the third round match against Reading,
yes.
And again, he wants to win this
trophy. He wants to win, and that's why I think it'll be a almost full-strength Manchester United team tonight. I see maybe one or two changes, tops. Mm. I think, as Steve-O pointed out, I think this competition means a lot to Solskjaer. It is the only chance they're going to lift the trophy. They're not good enough to win the Champions League. So, yeah, it's all eggs in the basket for Solskjaer.
Right, Leon is edging towards Arsenal. Where are you going, Steve-O, for tonight?
I suppose, yeah.
You're agonising over this.
I really am. I just think I might go for the score draw. I think I'll go for the score draw back to Old Trafford and United to win it there.
Okay, Newport County were the big shock team last round. Just taking a look at some of the rest of the games that are taking place this weekend. And Leon, I'm going to ask you why you favour Bristol City. I don't mean to give away what one of your bets are going to be later on, but Bristol play Bolton tonight in Old Championship game, and you're back in City to win?
Yeah, I am. I just think Bristol at home, they have a very good record. They're ultra, ultra difficult to beat. Bolton, on the other hand, have an abysmal away record. And that's one of the reasons really why I'm not going to give away my bet, but they are a part of it. And I just think home form tonight. I think in the FA Cup, you always want to get a home draw. Yeah. You just want to be playing at home. And it can mean so much, as we saw with a couple of shocks in the last round. So this wouldn't be a shock. But I think Bristol City will have plenty in the tank to beat Bolton.
Now, and as well, I'll admit I haven't done a huge amount of research into that particular game, but what I can say is that Callum O'Dowd, by all accounts, had a great game against Nottingham Forest last week. He's obviously signed a new deal with Bristol City.
Yeah.
He's been really boosted by that, which is great for Ireland as well, looking
Absolutely.
Ahead to the qualifiers.
Yep.
Mick McCarthy, I think Callum O'Dowd could be a big player under Mick McCarthy, but if he plays like he did against Forest, by all accounts, last week, yeah, definitely. Bolton, they've got to get out of relegation trouble.
Well, this is it too. I think that's their main priority.
Yeah.
I don't see them caring too much if they get beaten by Bristol City, to be totally honest. So I think Bristol wouldn't mind a cup run as well.
That's probably something we have to watch out for just in the general sense this weekend as well, where priorities actually lie. Because I remember we were talking about Newcastle in the last round against Blackburn. Mm. Newcastle didn't look too interested in either of those two legs, because obviously staying up in the Premier League is their number one priority. You might see some teams this weekend, lower end of the Premiership, maybe some teams who are looking at promotion in the Championship, who might necessarily be on it this weekend.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think what Leon said at the start is just vital. You know, if you're going to put a tenner or fiver here or there, wait till you see the teams in this FA Cup. One of my little tricks as well is if there's one particular match you're looking for, so say for instance Shrewsbury Wolves, and you want to see how many changes they've made, if you just put Shrewsbury changes into your Twitter search engine, and you usually get a couple of local journalists who have, tweeted out that Shrewsbury have made five or six changes for this game. So, yeah, I think that's, vital advice there from Leon is wait till the teams come out. Now, I understand that can sometimes have the price will change. And that's understandable with the bookies, but I'd never really take a chance on a price until you see those teams coming out.
When I saw the draw take place after the third round, Millwall at home to Everton jumped out straight away as a potential shock. Everton, you commented them a few weeks ago, Steve, where they weren't great, and Millwall at home are a tricky game for anybody.
I know Kevin Kilbane's actually going down to this, and we were speaking about it on the day at the Everton-Bournemouth game in Goodison Park, and Kevin was saying, this is a tricky one for Everton. He was actually telling me a story about when he was playing for Hull City, and Hull were in a bit of trouble, I think, at the time, and they had to go away to Millwall.
Okay.
And he said that Hull at the time had a few young players and they were getting off the coach, and they just met that barrage of abuse coming from the Millwall home fans.
Tigers.
And he said they got to the dressing room, and it was, you could see that some of the players, they were gone, like their heads were gone. This is such an intimidating place to go to. And Marco Silva made a few changes for their last FA Cup game against Lincoln City.
Yeah.
It almost didn't pay off because we know they just edged that one 2-1. If he does go with a couple of the younger fellas like John Joe Kenny, Dominic Calvert-Lewin, Luckman as well, who had a brilliant game against Bournemouth actually, I would just worry about their temperament going to a place like the New Den and Millwall. Millwall are actually on a decent run of form now. They had drawn a defeat in the last two games, but they had a few wins before that. And I'd worry for everything in this game because Marco Silva as well, he's under huge pressure. We all know the chairman, Mashiri, made a few comments a couple of weeks ago that would make you wonder about Silva's future at the club. He came out today as well talking about the fact that if he wanted to bring new players in this January, he's going to have to get rid of players. He's already spent £90 million. Yeah. So he's under a lot of pressure. And I think, I would just worry for everything in this game. I'd be edging towards Millwall to win this.
Yeah, again, I think it's look at the teams. But I have a feeling Silva doesn't have that comfort of resting players. I think this is a must win for him as an Evertonian, as an Everton manager, because the Evertonians who travel down to Millwall, they'll be looking at the FA Cup as their only chance. Now, they probably don't have a chance of winning it, but you never know how the draw pans out. But Everton need to win this game. I'd be hoping to see James McCarthy. By all accounts, he's supposed to be fit. I think you need a few experienced heads for this tie. You've got to go down to Millwall and you've got to try and dampen their spirits in the first 15-20 minutes. You've got to get players who want to get on the ball and show that you're the Premier League outfit. I think bringing in young kids for an away trip against Millwall, it's not the time or it's certainly not the place. And I think just for Everton, they need to get through this match. I think Silva, look, there's no point in them getting rid of Silva now. Because then what do? You're in the same place as you were last year and it's the season before that. You've got to give them till the end of the season, review it. And if you want to make a change in the summer, by all means, do so. But you've got to give them time. I don't know yet what Everton's actual style is. They don't have a number nine who they can rely upon. The young guy, Calvert-Lewin, is okay, but it's a lot of pressure on a young kid's shoulders. Tosun, who was brought in by Allardyce this time last year, hasn't really done it. They let Nias go to Cardiff. So they don't really have a striker. But for me, play your big boys, play Richarlison, play Sigurdsson, play the guys who you've paid the money for and tell them, stand up and be counted. Because the Evertonians will probably fill out the away end. They'll want to see a victory. I just have a feeling Everton will pick a strong team. And if they do so, I think they can get past Millwall.
I think even if they do pick a strong team, I was looking at Sigurdsson during that Bournemouth game. He's a funny player, Sigurdsson. You know, he wasn't really in the mood that day and he didn't play very well. And I just wonder if Millwall, you know, they've a couple of, you know, tough tackling midfielders in there. Yeah. And if they get stuck into Sigurdsson, you know, I just wonder if he's up for the fight in a game like this. I think all I've seen from their style of play really is the fullbacks bombing on. Maybe Coleman not as much because he hasn't got as much pace. So Luckman's the guy kind of providing that pace on the right-hand side. And we all know about Luca Digne. I think he's actually been their best signing from the summer. He's been fantastic. Great with set pieces. Millwall just have to be careful as well not to give too many free kicks away around their box. Yeah. Sigurdsson as well, of course. And I just think, and I'm looking at Millwall's form as well, they've only lost one of their last 11 FA Cup clashes on home turf. Everton away, they've only won one of the last seven away. So, you know, it's really not great form going into it on the road, Everton. And the last two meetings they've had in the FA Cup was a 1-1 at the Den before Everton took it back to Goodison and won it. Kilbane actually was involved in that game. I think he put the cross in for the equaliser in the first one. But yeah, I'm going to go for a shock here and go for a Millwall.
Yeah, no, listen, like I can see why. I think it's a must-win game for Everton. I would fear for Silva if they got beaten.
Yeah.
You could see the owner just replacing him, bringing someone in again till the end of the season. And they've spent an awful lot of money, Everton.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't really see that much improvement. So it's worrying times if you're an Evertonian, to be fair.
Yeah, and we touched on Spurs kind of started the show and the injury problems that they have. This game against Palace on Sunday now, on the back of their defeat against Chelsea midweek in the League Cup second leg as well, is this potentially one for Palace to target?
Yeah, look, I mean, you would have never thought Spurs against Palace that they'd both be the same price to win the match at 17-10. The draw is 21-10. But look, as I said with Spurs, they do look a little bit leggy. And like a lot of their players have played an awful lot of minutes. And okay, you'll say, why are you saying that with Kane gone, Ali gone and Son gone? But if you look at the remainder of the team, a lot of them have played an awful lot of football. Now, Palace, it probably suited them going to Anfield last week in terms of sit in and try and hit on the counter-attack, as it did when they played and beat Manchester City. They could just sit back and wait because they do have an awful... They've got pace in abundance with Saha, and he is the main man. And there's no doubt, but Andros Townsend has been chipping in. They've got a couple of decent midfielders. McArthur always looks like a player who can do something, maybe get on the end of a goal or create a goal. But Spurs, this is a tricky tie again. And for all the good that Pochettino has done since he's gone and taken over there, if they get knocked out of the cup, they realistically have only got the Champions League. And I don't feel...
A tricky game against Borussia Dortmund as well.
Yeah, especially with the players we're going to be missing.
Yeah.
So I actually think they'll get knocked out by Dortmund. So now you've got nothing. So you're finishing top four. Now, the Spurs faithful, I'm sure, do not want to see the back of Pochettino. But similar to Liverpool, Klopp is now in his fourth season. You've got to win something. You know, you've got to get some silverware behind you. So it's a tricky game. Palace, even though they got beaten by Liverpool, I think they'll be full of confidence. But if you look at prior to that game, they scored three. I cannot remember the last time Crystal Palace got even two goals in a game. Mm. So they still struggle to score goals. Liverpool's defending was a bit schoolboy. It goes back to the time even before they had Van Dijk, and he was all over the place as well, Van Dijk, it's fair to say. So look, again, very hard to call. If I was going to pick one team, I'd probably go for the draw. 21-10, I'll sit on the fence.
Steve, what about Crystal Palace? Good in big games in recent weeks as well. Mm. Went up to Man City, went to Liverpool. Hodgson has a system when he comes up against these better teams to try and stop them as well. Do you give them any kind of shout on Sunday?
Absolutely. We were watching the game last night, weren't we, in studio, and watching the Spurs-Chelsea game. And the minute I saw the first 10 minutes, I was like, lads, get on Crystal Palace for the FA Cup. I thought Crystal Palace were very impressive. As we know, down the wings, Wilfred Zaha, Andros Townsend can give anybody a bit of trouble. You've also got Patrick Van Aanholt who can bomb on and trouble the opposition fullbacks. The last six meetings between these sides in all competitions have been 1-0 results. Five of them going in favour of Spurs, one for Palace. That was, incidentally, was in the FA Cup last 16 at White Hart Lane. Spurs missing Dele Alli now. Harry Kane has gone. Son is over at the Asia Cup. Momo,
he looks out of place up front.
He does. Moussa Sissoko limped off at Stamford Bridge last night. You know, resources are thin on the ground at Spurs now. We mentioned the Dortmund game. They've got that coming up. Pochettino's got to be thinking ahead, and he's thinking, am I going to risk, you know, to certain players, is he going to risk them for a game like this against Crystal Palace? I know he's got to win a trophy, but yeah, he's just got to be careful with the players. And I think because Spurs only have 3 days from Stamford Bridge to this game at Selhurst Park, Palace have had 8 days to recover,
yeah,
and also to get a game plan in place. Roy Hodgson, we all know, I remember speaking to Stephen Kelly before about when he played under Hodgson at Fulham, and he always spoke about how well organised and well prepared he was for games. I think he's going to have a game plan in place for Spurs from a long time out, and I really think 17-10. They were actually 9-5 last night, Leon.
Yeah.
Crystal Palace, they've come into 17-10.
They've come into 17-10 because your point is well made. Like late game Thursday night, yeah, then have, okay, the two games are in London, so luckily there's no travelling.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, it's a tricky game, and I didn't really look into it as much as you did in terms of the personnel who he uses for this game. He's got to be careful,
yeah,
because the likes of Arsenal, United, they're quite close to them in the league. Mm. That was a big win against Fulham. If yeah, they only got a point there, they'd be turning and looking over their shoulder without the three main guys going, we're under pressure here. And that would be a disaster,
yeah,
if Spurs... So it's a big couple of weeks. You'd feel sorry for Pochettino that... He obviously didn't get any money in the summer. He's got no money in January.
He might get no money this summer, given the stadium as well.
And now he's lost three of his best players. You wonder, will he be there next season?
Get
you
on,
just
Palace.
Wonder.
Sorry, John Duggan.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, before we get to our bets of the weekend, then, our winners for the competition for the €50 credits, then, Sean Carthy was in contact on YouTube. He thinks Juan Mata is due a start for United tonight, possibly watching the assist market if he does play as
with
well.
Barcelona as well this week.
Mm. David Boyle on Facebook as well. He takes Man United to score both halves, 21-10. It's a decent shout for
not
tonight.
A bad shout, yeah.
And Alan O'Connor is in contact on Facebook as well. His picks for this weekend is an outsider treble by his own admission, but all teams at home, he stresses, 16-1, Bristol City, Portsmouth and Millwall. teams we're all kind of giving a shout
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
You're going to oppose that, Leon. Let's reveal our bets for this weekend. You've decided to lump a few teams together here.
Yeah, look, I spoke about Bristol. I think Wolves are good enough to beat Shrewsbury, and yeah. I think Wolves should pick a very strong team. Yep. And I just think with Everton, I was looking at it, and I just felt because it's such a big game for their manager, for their players, I don't think there'll be any type of bringing in kids and giving them a run against Millwall. I honestly think he has to win this match, and that's why I've picked Everton. So 11-4 on my treble.
All right, Steve-O. You've kind of half given your tip away here by being so vociferous in Crystal Palace.
Yeah, look, Palace are the only way I'm looking at this one. 17-10, I think it's a great price. They're at home. We all know about the atmosphere at Selhurst Park. It's absolutely amazing. One of the best atmospheres in the whole Premier League. We don't get many of them these days. So yeah, I'm just going to go all out on Palace. 17-10, I think it's a great price. The other one I'm kind of looking at as well, we haven't really mentioned the game because we're under time pressure, but I think you've got the price open there. But I'd be looking at Brighton as well. Because yeah. I know West Brom obviously have, they're looking to get promotion. That's their big focus yeah. this year. And I think Brighton...
10 to 11.
Yeah, it's not just under evens. We all know Chris Hughton won the FA Cup twice as a player.
Yeah.
I think he really does.
They're home in that game as well, aren't
yeah.
they?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think he
their
loves,
home form is very
loves
good.
The competition. So yeah, I'll be looking at Brighton as well, definitely.
All right, Kevin Kilbane then, what's he picked? He has gone for a treble here as well. Got Bristol City to win.
There goes my treble out the yeah. window anyway.
Portsmouth to win. And interestingly enough, Brighton to win as well.
Yeah.
So altogether, that's 6-1. And he probably has scuppered Leon's bet in Italy by going for Bristol City to
yeah,
win.
Yeah, no, I mean, like I agree with Steve-O as well with Brighton. I think they will beat West Brom. West Brom have got bigger fish to fry to try and get back to the Premier League. Portsmouth at home against QPR. So that's obviously building up Kev's bet up to 6-1. At least he's gone with three home teams.
Yeah.
And I think that's crucial in the yeah. FA Cup.
All right, my bet is on tonight's game then. Manchester United to win and United to score two or more goals in the game as well. I think there's going to be goals all round tonight, but United will score more than twice in the game and you can get 11-4 on that.
Not a bad shout, Will. Yeah, yeah. I think it could be like the Spurs game, you know, that was a 4-2. So, yeah, I think it could be one of those crazy nights at the Emirates.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's a very high scoring game.
Well, fingers crossed in terms of my bet at least. Good luck to all of you who are punting for this weekend as well. My thanks to Stephen Doyle and Leon Blanche for joining us and the best of luck with your punting over the weekend.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Boyle Sports. Now with same-day withdrawals to your Visa debit card.